Well, I am humbled and I am honored to be here. This church has stood for many years in this county as a light of God's sovereignty and God's grace, and so I'm very humbled to be here. And even though I do teach in my church, I don't teach behind the sacred desk. I teach Bible studies, and it is more intimidating to me to be standing behind the pulpit at any time in any church. But I pray that God will hide me behind the desk and that His Word will speak as we look into it together. And devotionally, I thought, what better place, as I pondered where we could go to devote ourselves to the Lord in a short time, I thought, what better place to go than the Psalms? And in the book of Psalms, I thought, what better place to go, being a simple-minded man, than the 23rd Psalm. F.B. Meyer wrote a devotional book on the 23rd Psalm almost 100 years ago, entitled The Shepherd Psalm. And therein he referred to the 23rd Psalm as the Psalm of the Crook, you know, referring to the crook of a shepherd's staff. And he said that God had perfectly placed it between the Psalm of the Cross, Psalm 22, and the Psalm of the Crown, Psalm 24. And so here in these three Psalms of the Shepherd King David, we have the three greatest Psalms, or at least three of the greatest, if not the three greatest Psalms of David. And we see the progression from Psalm 22, in way of introduction, from the shepherd king, who was the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep in Psalm 22, to the great shepherd in Psalm 23 who keeps his flock in the shepherd psalm that we're about to look at, to the chief shepherd in Psalm 24 who's coming again in great glory. So, I know these are simple. I know this Psalm 23 in particular is simple. And it may be probably one of the most familiar chapters in all the Bible. It's certainly one of the most loved. But I pray that we would look in it afresh and anew. A contemporary of mine, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote this about the Psalm. Sitting under a spreading tree with his flock around him, like Bunyan's shepherd boy in the valley of humiliation, we picture David singing this unrivaled pastoral with a heart as full of gladness as it could hold. Or if the psalm be the product of his after years, we are sure that his soul returned in contemplation to the lonely water brooks which rippled among the pastures of the wilderness, where in early days he had been wont to dwell. This is the pearl of psalms, whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye. Perhaps, like many of you, this is the first chapter of the Bible I remember memorizing. And like many of you, perhaps you grew up as a child being comforted, although I certainly didn't understand the depth and the meaning of the psalm. I was comforted by the shepherding nature of the psalm, even as a small child. I guess that's just testimony to the fact that our souls long to be shepherded. And as we know, probably more than any other psalm, this is the psalm that's read over our dying bodies or even our dead bodies at funerals. And so, in effect, it's the psalm that bookends life from young childhood to the grave. This psalm is very special to us. Since time is short, I want us to look at just the first verse. Really, the first line of the first verse. Even so, we can't mine all the treasure in even this one short verse or one short line. And notice what that is. The first line of the first verse. And it's interpreted the same in all of our major English translations. I don't know what you have, but I know what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's just five simple words in English. It's only two in Hebrew. And it's so simple, yet so profound. And I think I'm guilty of overlooking God's grace and glory in the simple and the short. And so I pray that He would show it to us tonight, the depth and intensity of His truth and love for us as a shepherd in this short line. In ancient societies, we see a term here that was not pleasant to them, and that's shepherd. Because in all the ancient societies, shepherd was a loathsome profession. It was not an admired task. It was the worst work. Genesis 46 tells us every shepherd is loathsome or an abomination to the Egyptians. They were regarded even as they smelled. Rude, crude, common, and repulsive. And so such an assignment to be a shepherd was always reserved for the youngest in the family, the one that couldn't get out of it, as it was in the case of the divine writer that God used to record this, David. He was a shepherd, even as a young boy. And so it's amazing to consider the depth of the rank of the term shepherd, and yet to turn around and consider that yet our Lord has chosen to be our shepherd. Consider, first of all, as we look at just the word shepherd, what a shepherd had to do for his flock. He had to live with his flock 24 hours a day. He had to be out with them in the fields constantly. And we know, I don't have to get into all the illustrations, but we know that sheep are without a doubt the most helpless animals. They're the most dumb, they're the most stubborn, and they are the most helpless. They have trouble doing anything. That's why they have been used throughout the scriptures as a great metaphor for who? For us. Fallen humanity is dumb, stubborn, helpless, and without hope, without a shepherd. The state of a sheep always depended on the character, the ability, and the nature of the shepherd. Otherwise, a sheep was a helpless, dumb animal. But as for God in His Word, the word shepherd is a very precious meaning. As Jacob lay dying, he first referred to God as his shepherd when he said, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." So a good shepherd became a symbol for the provision and care of the Lord for His people. A good shepherd needed a caring heart that would give himself and risk his own blood for his sheep. A good shepherd needed a sharp eye that watched for every danger and opportunity for a sheep to become ensnared or for a sheep to feed, and would not miss even the smallest lamb that wandered away. A good shepherd needed dedicated faithfulness that would not fail to meet every provision or comfort, never flee, and would remain with the sheep until they reached safety. A good shepherd needed great strength and power to be able to deliver the sheep from any danger, from the mouth of a lion, from the fang of the wolf, or from the paw of the bear. A good shepherd needed gentle tenderness that would lead the most timid and carry the tiniest lamb and balm up the most painful wounds. Jacob and believers like him saw the good Lord as that good shepherd and more. And the psalmist David understood the roles and characteristics of a good shepherd very well and divinely applied that metaphor to the Lord God. But over 1,000 years after David wrote these words, the promised Messiah taught much more about the meaning of a shepherd as he specifically applied it to himself in John chapter 10. He called himself a shepherd of the sheep and said, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He also said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." when Jesus questioned Peter about his love for him, he told him what? Shepherd my sheep. One of the titles used for the leaders of Christ's church is what? Pastor. Which obviously implies a very pastoral and shepherding meaning. These men are commanded by Peter in his word to shepherd the flock of God among you, such that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So, back up one more word. We have, the Lord is my shepherd. Now look at the next word in reverse. That's what? The little word, my. We don't need to skip that little word. What a difference comes from that little word, my. You know, it's one thing to hear or to say that a child has died. How much different is it if I said to you, my child has died? What a difference that one little word, that one little adjective can make. And it's one thing to say that the Lord is a shepherd to His people. What a difference it makes to say, the Lord is my shepherd. What a difference that makes. The gap between knowledge and appropriation is the same as the gap between demons and saints. It's the same as the gap between death and life. It's the same as the gap between saved or lost and saved. So the difference between my and not mine is hell and heaven, eternity and eternal death. So it's also the difference between being a sheep and being a goat or a wolf. You know, in the scriptures, you're either a sheep or a goat, you're either a sheep or a wolf. And so how precious it is to be able to say, by the grace and mercy of God, that the Lord is my shepherd. Very gracious. So we back up another word. The Lord is my shepherd. And we come to the most important word in the whole line. And that's the Lord. We know in the Old Testament, anytime we see the Lord in all caps, that it refers to the proper name of God. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh, or Jehovah. This is the proper name of God, the mystic name that kept Jews so much in awe and reverence that they would only allow it to be spoken one time a year on the Day of Atonement by only one man, the high priest, in only one place, the Holy of Holies. It was that reverential, that awesome to them, that they would not even dare to speak it except that one time by that one man in that one place. And the Hebrew root for Yahweh or Jehovah comes from our English verbs, are comparable to the Hebrew root, would be our English verbs meaning to be or being or becoming. In other words, this name of God refers to His self-existent being. This is the great I Am who spoke to Moses on the mountain and said, I am that I am. And we know how powerful it was, for when Jesus took that expression onto Himself, He was considered most blasphemous by the Jews. They knew who He was claiming to be. They knew He was claiming to be that great I Am, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. Our Lord and God is the only true life and being. All others, whether angels or men or creatures, all others are not true life. They're not true beings. Think about that. We all gain life from the true life. We all gain being from the true being. He is the only one who is being. We're all becoming. We're always changing. We're always different. We're always dependent. He is unchangeable. He never changes. He's always the same. He is the one who's sung about in the next psalm. Psalm 24 is the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verse 8 says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts." He is the King of glory. So now, put the whole line together. And truly, we should be awestruck and dumb, struck dumb to consider this line in total. That is, that this Lord, the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great God, the I Am God, the God who was, the God who is, the God who is to come, that God, that Lord, the Lord God, He is my shepherd.
Amen.
And then consider that the Lord Jesus took that unto Himself. As we've already said, He is the good and chief and great shepherd. He is the pastor of our souls. So to say it completely, as truly revealed in the New Testament, the Lord Jehovah Jesus, He is my shepherd. The Lord Jehovah Jesus Christ, He is my shepherd. So, if you can say that in truth and faith, then truly, you have been born again. Truly, you are indeed the sheep of the Lord God. You are the people of His flock. And therefore, all the rest of the psalm applies. We don't have to study the rest of the psalm because it all becomes, it's like if you get Jesus, you get it all. If you have Christ, you have everything. And that's what the psalm says. Because, or since, the Lord is my shepherd, what? What's next? I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack rest. Because He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack life, because He restores my soul. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack guidance, because He leads me in paths of righteousness and even through the valley of the shadow of death. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack safety. His rod and staff, they comfort me. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack provision. He prepares a table for me, even in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me goodness and mercy all the days of my life. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack an eternal heavenly home. He causes me to dwell in His house forever. So this great song has been sung for over 3,000 years and shall go forth from the hearts and lips of His flock for who knows how long till He comes again. But even in eternity, we see that in heaven, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is still the shepherd of the bodies, souls, and spirits of His sheep. In Revelation 7, verse 16, it says, "They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.